Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet Playoff Preview presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, Jack Manuel and Jonathan Ibrahim. What's up, fellas?
Killing it, lads. We're international flavor today. Pitbull style, Mr. Worldwide.
Australia, Canada, United States.
Hey, guys. I'm glad to be back on. And today we're talking about my favorite topic, the Toronto Raptors. So I'm excited to be here.
For sure. And, you know, the Raptors and the Wizards have matched up a few times in the playoffs already. And this is going to be another time, obviously different circumstances with the Raptors being the one seed, the Wizards being the eight, John Wall not being 100% healthy. It's usually Kyle Lowry who's kind of banged up at this point. We can talk about the matchups during the season, but it doesn't really matter because John Wall didn't play, I believe, in all four of those matchups. But is there anything you could take away that you'd want to point out in those four matchups?
Bradley Beal was really, really good. I feel like, you know, he thrives when the spotlight is on him, as does John Wall to an extent. But I feel like Bradley Beal, low key, is the more important player to the Wizards here. In the fact that, you know, his ability to create off the dribble has improved exponentially. He's one of the best 3-point shooters. His form is just absolutely silky smooth, buttery smooth, whatever you want to call it. It's amazing. It's Jesus Shuttleworth like. So I feel like, yeah, Bradley Beal's form is one thing we can take from him. And how the Raptors defend him with DeMar and Kyle Lowry in the backcourt, and I guess Fred VanVleet, if you want to chuck him in, because he normally plays in some clutch time as well. I feel like that's going to be an important part as well. But also, you know, DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, those guys, how can the Wizards sort of, you know, balance out their offense and defense and the depth that they sort of lack that the Raptors do have?
Yeah, and just kind of to build off your point there, Jack, I think one of the things I take away from it is that the Wizards, even though they're on the opposite end of the seeding from Toronto, they still managed to take two games. And like you said, with the absence of John Wall, that kind of raises a red flag to me if I'm the Toronto Raptors. Letting a team like that beat you two out of four times when their best player isn't on the floor, that's a concern. But I think the Wizards' backcourt has always kind of had Toronto's number. So it'll be interesting to see how this one unfolds.
But guys, you know, Jonathan kind of mentioned them matching up before in the playoffs. It was 2 years ago or 3 years ago they matched up and the Wizards swept them in the first round. Do you think that'll impact them and give them some extra confidence?
I feel like that won't, but their recent playoff sort of woes certainly will. I think game one is probably going to be the most important game in Raptors history. We say that generally every year for the Raptors, but you know, until they actually win a game one, that's going to be the case for going forward. So I feel like their playoff woes in general may have an effect, but the Wizards team has changed so much since then. The Raptors team has changed so much since then. You know, they've changed so much in the space of 6 to 12 months as well. So I feel like that necessarily won't have an effect, but the general sort of playoff confidence is going to be a huge thing for the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you on that one, Jack. I don't think game one is as important. I think it's a little bit overstated. They have had a horrible time trying to win games in that game one. But I think even if they lose game one, the Raptors have the confidence that they can come back and win the series because they've done that before. And they've even games that they, or even series that they've lost after losing game one, they've at least made it competitive. So I think they'll come into the series knowing that if they lose game one, it's not the end of the world. They can bounce back. From the Wizards' standpoint, if they come in and win game one, I think their confidence goes through the roof because, like you said, Nick, they've beat this team convincingly the last time they met up in the playoffs. Now, of course, these are different teams. This isn't the same Wizards team. This isn't the same Raptors team from that series. But I think the main pieces are all still there. And John Wall's, I don't want to say health, but John Wall's conditioning, his ability to play, you know, 40 minutes a game is going to be big in this series. But I do think that the Wizards are going to carry some confidence in because they know they can beat the core of this team.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, like we mentioned, the teams definitely are different. But, you know, the main cogs for both teams being DeRozan and Lowry and Beal and Wall are still there. But where do you think the Raptors can attack the Wizards in this series?
They've got a lot of ways, Nick. You know, they have huge bench depth. Their general consistency across the season, they've been a bit up and down as of late. But, you know, they're the third best scoring team. They're fourth in 3-pointers made. They're top five in offensive, defensive, and net rating. You know, they have the best bench net rating. You know, they're great true shooting and effective field goal team, top five in both areas. So they've just got a really well-balanced team when it comes to across the board. So I feel like the Wizards, if anything, a striving to be a consistent squad like this Raptors team has been over the past sort of half decade, if you want to put it. But this is the peak of the Toronto Raptors right now, and they need to strike while the iron's hot in this season. So, and I feel like they certainly can. They've got, despite the fact that they've been up and down, and we know about the playoffs and we know about the game ones, but I feel like this team is so well-rounded, and they just continue what has done well for them, then they should be able to blow out this Wizards team.
Yeah, it's kind of tough finding an advantage for one team over the other, because there's not really one thing that either of these teams does particularly better than the other. What I will say about Washington is, although they're not great at any one particular facet, they actually do everything relatively well. They defend the three-point line quite well. They shoot from the three-point line quite well. They, in general, have a relatively strong defense. It's not a porous defense. And the Raptors are the same thing. They don't have the number one defense in the league, but they are a good defensive squad when they've got the right guys on the floor. So there's really no far and away advantage to either team, at least from where I sit from my perspective. But I think, like you said, Jack, the Raptors are more well-balanced. I think they're a little bit deeper. And I think if, let's say, the backcourts cancel each other out, I'd say the Raptors have more tools, more weapons, even in their starting five, than, let's say, a Wizards team that's kind of been at odds with each other throughout the season. So I think the depth and the chemistry with the Raptors is going to be what makes a difference here.
Yeah, I agree. I think the depth is definitely something, like you mentioned. The Raptors have a whole bunch of different tools on the starting lineup and on the bench. You know, a lot of different options for KC as well. Like with the Wizards, on the other hand, you've mentioned chemistry hasn't been an issue. John Wall has just come back. You know, he hasn't played the whole season. They're not riding any type of momentum. You know, they've had some ugly losses over the last month, and Bradley Beal has looked really fatigued at times, having to carry the team this whole season. So one area maybe the Raptors could capitalize as well would be the Wizards. I think are ranked 20th in turnover percentage, and the Raptors, I think, are top 10 in points off turnovers. So kind of capitalize on some of that sloppy play and lack of chemistry from the Wizards.
Yeah, the Wizards like to move that ball around. You know, they're fourth in assists per game. So I think attacking sort of that moving ball and sort of seeing if they can get the deflections and sort of create points off turnovers is a really good point you make there, Nick.
And take advantage of Gortat not being a very good center anymore. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful or anything, but he's just really, you know, gotten a lot worse over the last few seasons. And I think that's an area where, you know, the Raptors will kind of be like, all right, let Gortat try to roll to the rim. He's missed a ton of layups.
Yeah, the Polish hammer certainly has lost some of its sharpness. That's so to speak.
It's more like a mallet now with like a rubber. Yeah. End. Not really.
One of those plastic kids' mallets that you give like a 3-year-old. Yeah.
Exactly. So, but where can the Wizards attack the Raptors?
I like the Wizards on the wing. I really like Otto Porter season this year. A guy that Nick and I have a personal affiliation with. but I feel like Porter can be a real impact in this season. You know, OG Anunoby has been very consistent this year and is a great defender. But at the same time, you know, he has to make some shots, and, you know, that rookie inexperience we've talked about in other series as well can be a factor that plays against him. Whereas Otto Porter's played in playoffs before. He's been great this season and almost has been like the second best player if you want to take John Wall out of the equation. So I feel like the top three players for the Washington Wizards is somewhere in their starting lineup. Is one area that they can certainly attack. Their three-point percentage is top three. You know, they might not take an exponential amount, but they're making them. They're also, in a weird way, if they can make their mid-range jumpers, that's going to be a real key for them, because they're fourth in mid-range, in percentage from mid-range. So I feel like if they're making their shots, that's when they look really good. They're moving the ball around. They're getting open shots. They're taking them from 15 feet or 25 feet, as long as they're making them. And, yeah, I feel like if everyone eats, as the sort of analogy came out when John Wall was out, you know, can Satoransky have a bit of an effect coming off the bench? Can Jody Meeks make some shots? Can all these guys, these bench guys, have some sort of effect? Because we know the Raptors bench is going to have a huge effect on this outcome.
Yeah, I completely agree with you when it comes to the three-point shooting. The Wizards, when they're shooting them and they find guys open, they've got a lot of guys that can make those outside shots. So it's going to be a real problem for the Raptors if they don't shore up their perimeter defense. The other place I can see the Wizards having an advantage over the Raptors would be in the athleticism of that backcourt. These are two of the best backcourts in the NBA, in my opinion. And to be completely honest, the athleticism possessed by John Wall and Bradley Beal, it kind of outweighs what the Raptors bring on that side of the on their side of the ball. As athletic as DeMar is, I don't think Lowry is nearly as athletic. I don't think he can keep up with John Wall, and I don't think he can defend him very convincingly. So it'll take a team effort for the Raptors to kind of combat what those two guards on Washington can produce. And it'll also be interesting to see if John Wall is John Wall or if he's just a shade of his former self.
Exactly. I think that's going to be a huge factor, is John Wall attacking Lowry, because like you said, that could be a matchup where they'd have the advantage. You know, Lowry's best bet in that situation is doing something he's really good at, and that's taking charges in some places and kind of getting some of those calls, especially if John Wall gets frustrated. I think maybe from the Wizards' perspective, you know, this is kind of getting back to that previous series. It's like they want to get on top of the Raptors and kind of discourage them, and that doesn't necessarily mean just winning the game. I think if they want to get in Lowry's head, you know, he's struggled in the playoffs, some of it's been injuries, but obviously there is something mental there, and they can really, you know, make it and force DeRozan to beat them by himself without Lowry. I think that's probably their best bet, is kind of try to get the momentum and get in, almost like play a head game. And we've seen the Wizards do that a few times in the past and this season. It hasn't worked out, but this may be one time it actually could work for the Wizards. Now, that's just not saying it would be a guarantee, but it's a chance.
But the Raptors like wearing black. They look really good in the black and gold. Nah, but you make a good point. I feel like the mental game is going to be a huge sort of standpoint. You know, is Kyle Lowry going to hit his first few shots and get himself going? You know, we saw him against the Cavs after heading to the Villanova game sort of being really, really poor. You know, it's going to be – I feel like Kyle Lowry is still probably the key to this entire series. You know, his minutes have been restricted this season due to, you know, the new system that Dwayne Casey's instilled. But, you know, it's all built up to the playoffs. And this is where Kyle Lowry's going to see some increased minutes, see some increased role for him. He's still a very good defender. And I feel like I saw a stat like yesterday. He's taken like more charges than like 7 or 8 teams or something along those lines. He's really great when it comes to his positioning. And, you know, if he can make John Wall feel uncomfortable on the other end, then that's one thing that I feel like is going to go a long way, because, you know, Bradley Beal can only do so much, and he's going to get gassed at times, because, you know, he's going to have to guard either a DeMar or someone else for the Raptors, because this team is deep when we're talking about the Toronto Raptors, whereas the Washington Wizards are very top heavy. So it's almost like, you know, a yin and yang in that sense.
Yeah, I agree that Kyle's going to be one of the keys to the series, but where the Raptors are stronger this season than they have been in the past is that they have a few options at the point guard position. They don't have to play Lowry for 40 minutes a game. So if his shot's not falling, or if he's a net negative for the team, they can rotate him out and plug the hole with a DeLon Wright, or if, as long as he's fully healthy come playoff time, a Fred VanVleet. So I don't think they're going to have to rely on his production as much as they have in the past. Casey's done a really good job of kind of changing how the offense operates. And that's going to be really important, because that's a big difference from when these teams last played each other in the postseason. Their ability to get production out of every single one of the guys on the floor, that's something we haven't seen from the Raptors since this core came together. And I think that'll be the difference, the fact that Kyle doesn't have to carry the load offensively that he used to. And then just to build off that point, the fact that they have guys like Fred VanVleet, who's a relatively decent defender, and then he's a pesky defender. He's not a big guy, but he really does disrupt the opposing player, and he can cause a lot of problems, create a few turnovers. And then they've got a guy like DeLon Wright, who's 6'5", I believe, and athletic, long, and an extremely talented perimeter defender. So taking him off the bench and putting him on John Wall for stretches is going to be big, and I think it'll slow him down enough for the Raptors to capitalize on that matchup a little bit.
Other than the backcourts, obviously we mentioned Bradley Beal and John Wall versus Kyle Lowry and DeRozan, where is the key matchups in the series? You know, what is another, you know, big 1v1 type of thing that we're going to see?
I feel like it, for me, it comes down to the bench overall versus the bench overall. There's not necessarily a 1v1 thing. I mentioned Otto Porter and OG Anunoby earlier. That could be a matchup. But I feel like the bench depth that the Raptors have created, you know, guys like Pascal Siakam, Jakob Poeltl, guys that Jonathan just mentioned as well with their guards, they're going to have a huge impact on this series. And it's been a key to their success. Whereas the bench is one of the things that the Wizards have really lacked and have been looking for. Is Ty Lawson going to change their fortunes? I have no idea. It was announced last night that he's been picked up on a deal by Shams. So whether that becomes, he has some sort of an effect as a backup guard to John Wall. It certainly remains to be seen. But yeah, I feel like the one-on-one matchups, other than the backcourt and maybe Otto Porter and Adrian Anunoby, Jonas Valanciunas and Marcin Gortat almost nullify each other. You know, they're both sort of plotting centers. Jonas has had a decent season on the perimeter, and he's sort of improved in that aspect. So I certainly think they can drag Marcin and, you know, use his lack of athleticism in that sense to sort of exploit him a bit too. So there's just so many ways that this Toronto Raptors team is better that I can't see them not winning the series.
Well, how about Serge Ibaka and Markieff Morris for a matchup? I think that one's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Very similar players in their approach offensively. And then, I mean, I'm going to give the edge to Serge defensively, but Markieff is no slouch either. Kelly Oubre is another player on the Wizards that I like, another athletic wing that can shoot the three.
He can start a fight too.
Absolutely. And you know from last year, you know, he can be a source of inspiration for this team. He's a young guy, but he's afraid of nobody, and he's not afraid to let people know that. With the Raptors, they don't particularly have one guy coming off the bench that would scare a team, but that mob of players, I mean, they go 12 deep. Those guys can come off the come off after, you know, not playing for a week and give you a almost starter production. So that bench mob in Toronto is enough to scare anybody. I think they all play defense. They can all contribute offensively, and when they're clicking, it's tough to beat the Raptors. But I think those front court players are just as important as any of the other players. But I guess for me, one of the key matchups that's really going to decide this series is Jonas Valanciunas and Marcin Gortat. The reason I say that is because Gortat is really coming towards the end of his career. His career is starting to wind down. He's slowing down. He makes mistakes around the basket. His hands aren't as good, and his athleticism has all but disappeared. On the other side, you've got a guy like Jonas Valanciunas, who is just starting to come into his prime. He's just starting to enter his athletic prime. He's really starting to understand this game. And I mean, I can't understand for the life of me why he plays only 22 minutes a game, because I find him to be one of the best young centers in the league. His numbers aren't really scary: 12 points, 9 rebounds, you know, 1 assist, shooting 57% from the field. But let's just take a look at his per 36 numbers. You know, we all know in the playoffs the rotation shrinks a little bit, and some of the starters are going to start playing more and more minutes. And I think Jonas Valanciunas, like, if you look at these per 36 minute numbers, 20 points, 14 rebounds, 2 assists. It's incredible what this guy is able to produce when he's given the minutes. And we've seen big performances by him in the playoffs before. I mean, he wants to be great. He wants to be a staple in this Raptors team. And I think this will be an important series for him.
Yeah, and you mentioned the fact he is knocking down the three ball occasionally now this season. That could pull Gortat out a little bit. And you mentioned Oubre Jr., which actually kind of brings up a great point, because if Oubre Jr. is playing great, they might, you know, the Wizards might elect to go with some small ball, especially if Gortat is struggling. And that could really change the series a little bit too. And if Valanciunas is having a really big impact, maybe they have to play Mahimni a little bit. You know, just a lot of different variables for guys stepping up or not stepping up. But let's get to it. Deciding factor of this series.
For me, it's if we're going to see the playoff wraps of the past. It's the storyline that's been done to death, but I feel like it's been done to death for a reason. It's a reason why it keeps coming up. I feel like the Raptors have a real chance to sort of cement their legacy in Toronto. I mean, if they already have it with this squad, you know, make an Eastern Conference Finals, make an NBA Finals, and this is the squad that I think can do it. And if they are going to do it, it's now or never.
I'd say the deciding factor, I want to give equal weighting to two deciding factors. So one, I think the main deciding factor, like you said, Jack, is going to be which Raptors show up to this series. Is it going to be the free-flowing offense that we've seen all year? You know, have those changes really made an impact on this squad? And are we going to get a diverse offensive scheme once the playoffs start? Or are we going to see what we've seen in the postseason previously with this team, and that's, you know, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan taking turns going ISO ball, especially as games get close down the stretch. The Raptors did a really good job of closing out tight games this year. Their record reflects that. But if they resort back to that isolation basketball to get buckets because Dwayne Casey can only trust one of those two guys, they're going to be in serious trouble, and that's where they're going to lose games. The other point is, you know, which team's supporting cast really shows up to play. I mean, are we going to see guys like Gortat and Morris turn back the clock a little bit, or are we going to see Ibaka turn back the clock? Are we going to see Valanciunas step up? Those surrounding cast members, those bench players, they're all going to play a really important role in this series, and whoever's squad can squeeze the most juice out of their orange is going to win.
Yeah, I think you guys obviously hit it on the head with the factor being, you know, are the Raptors going to show up, which I think they will, because like you mentioned, Jonathan, I think they really did make some good habits this season and getting away from that iso ball a little bit. Obviously, we've seen a pop up in situations. And then another huge factor, I think, is just going to be the health of John Wall. You know, what John Wall are we getting? Are we going to get the guy we saw this season? Or are we going to get the guy we saw the previous year really attacking guys one-on-one in transition, being that one-man fast break, throwing down those lefty dunks? What are we going to see from John Wall?
Yeah, there were already questions about his, you know, lofty max contract as well. I mean, he only literally just signed it this year. So if we can see some sort of recapturing of his old form, then those questions might go away for at least a year, because, you know, his injury history is starting to catch up to him a little bit. But if he can have a big series against the Raptors and even lead them to an upset win, then I feel like that'll get the media off his back a little bit.
Yeah, it's crazy how things can change so fast. Last year, we're talking top five point guard. Now people are complaining about him and possibly saying, you know, they should trade him and run with Bradley Beal. Yeah. But predictions for this series, who you got?
I think the Raptors will do it for Drake. They're going to do it in six.
What do you got, John?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think the Raptors are going to close this one in five or six. I think the Wizards will maybe poach a game or two. I guess I would lean towards six games, Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, I'm going to go Raptors in six as well. I think, you know, the Wizards probably be able to get one at least on home, maybe steal one on the road or something. And a lot depends on John Wall. I could easily see it being five, and I could actually see the roles swapping away, because we've saw some real chemistry issues from the Wizards, and it could be a sweep. I'm not saying it's a likely scenario, but I think it is a possibility. MVP of this series.
The MVP is going to be DeMar DeRozan. He's been a near MVP this season through certain stretches, so I think DeMar is certainly going to step up. Kyle Lowry is going to be very important, but DeMar DeRozan is the offensive heartbeat to this squad.
Yeah, I would agree. I think DeMar has had his struggles in the playoffs before, but one of the things that's different about him this season is that, A, he's shooting the three quite a bit better than he has in the past. He's at least a threat if he's left open, so teams won't sag off him as much as they have in previous years. And then I think the fact that he's become such a competent playmaker really puts a lot of pressure on opposing defenses, because before they knew they could, you know, other teams' defenses knew they could force DeMar into a bad shot to end a possession. But now, with his ability to kind of read the defense a little bit, find his teammates for open shots, become more of a threat in terms of his playmaking, I think that opens up this Raptors offense. And I think it's the key to this Raptors offense. So I think that his changes over the offseason, his improvements are going to be big.
Yeah, MVP for me too, DeMar DeRozan. Like you mentioned, you hit it on the head. The three-point shot, I've seen him hit a couple tough ones. Obviously, a lot's going to change in the playoffs, but the playmaking will be huge. Especially if Lowry struggles, it'll give them somebody they can really run the show with. But guys, that wraps it up. As always, thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Jack, for taking the time to do this. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And you can check us out on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, and Google Play.